someone into a tight enough corner and you'll quickly discover what they're made of. In fact, it's remarkable how a predicament will expose an independent spirit and how quickly a swagger turns into desperation. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll recounts the historic moment when the Israelites fled Egypt. At the shores of the Red Sea, they were at an impasse with the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. Moses and his people needed a miracle, and that's when God accomplished what nobody could. Chuck titled today's message, Between the Devil and the Deep Red Sea.
You picture the Israelites as they stood back and that divine wind just swished down into that riverbed and dried it out, just like dust. Got it all ready for the Israelites. And so once God took his hand off that wind, then they moved right in. That's what it says. The water was like walls to them on the right and on their left. Now, verse 23. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit. See, they were just so gullible, they fell right into the trap. They thought, man, if they can walk across the sea, we can too. So there they went. Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and the horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. Came about at the morning watch. That's long before daybreak. That the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. That's the fourth thing God did. First, he told Moses to go forward. Second, he blocked the vision of the Egyptians for a period of time. Third, he opened the path through the sea. And fourth, he brought confusion to the Egyptians. Look at what happened. It's a remarkable scene. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve. He made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel. The Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. Remember what the Lord said? They're going to know I'm the Lord when this is over. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen. Moses did that. He stretched out his hand over the sea and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak. Except it was filled with bodies. The Egyptians, when they were fleeing, went right into it. The Lord said, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. What a remarkable scene. Verse 29, the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. And the waters were like a wall to them on their right and on their left. You know what I see? I see the walls of water pushed back and the Israelites moving into it. Just at the time they're getting across, then the Egyptians come and there's a space in between. And just as the Israelites are cleared, the riverbed is full of Egyptians. And God said to Moses, do your thing with the stick, Moses. Bring the water back. And he did. And the waters rushed in and suddenly there was a massive massacre. Not a soul lived through it. You notice verse 30? They took a walk along the seashore, and it says the Israel that day was saved from the hand of the Egyptians, and they saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Please notice, it doesn't ever say they killed him, because they didn't. It doesn't even say they defended themselves, because they didn't. It doesn't even say they fought, because they didn't. They waited, and they walked through, and then they watched God work. As a matter of fact, verse 31 describes the people as standing in awe. It says, when they saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord, they believed in the Lord, and they believed in his servant Moses. In that order, there was an awesome silence. There was a dignity that spread over that shoreline when they saw what God had done, and they gave God glory, and they looked at Moses from a whole new light. Now, it is my personal opinion that from this 14th chapter of Exodus, there are some timeless lessons inscribed for us. To draw them out, let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Something really written in the pages for us. Romans 15:4 is a verse you should mark if you haven't marked it yet. It's one of the best New Testament verses on the value of the Old Testament. You that are a little hesitant to get into the Old Testament, or you that are teaching from the Old Testament, you should point out to your students verse 4 of chapter 15 of Romans. For whatever was written in earlier times, that's Exodus 14, was written for our instruction, that's today, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Marvelous verse. God put truths into the Old Testament so that we in this era of grace, the last days, might draw some timeless, profound lessons for now. There are four of them that I find in Exodus 14. Here's the first. It takes tight places to break lifetime habits. God has to design some Baal Zephons for us today because it takes tight places to break lifetime habits. Now listen carefully, because here is where it all comes together. It's where the rubber meets the road in this message. There are some of you who have set up some very humanistic lifestyles, having rubbed shoulders in Egypt most of your life. You work with Egyptians. You think like Egyptians. You do commercial battles with Egyptians. You're in the competitive world of Egyptians, spiritually speaking. It's only natural that you react like the Egyptians. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Really? Then you're up for some real tight places very soon, if not already. For God to break the Egyptian habits, He has to put us in some very tight places. And I have discovered the longer the habits, the tighter the places, the more impossible the cul-de-sacs. Chesty Puller was a highly esteemed officer. He was in command of a company of men who suddenly moved into an area that became surrounded. To the north was a group of the enemy on both flanks, and suddenly to the rear they were closed in. And Puller just tightened his fist and said, "That's the way we want it. They won't get away this time." That's the way it is with God and some lessons. In order for those lessons to become etched into your and my hearts, we have to be surrounded with no escape route. Then we learn. That's why some of you are in the predicaments that you're in. Seriously. God's saying something. He has a Baal Zephon, a place for hidden treasures that you must learn before you're released, before the Red Sea opens. There's a second lesson. When hemmed in on all sides, the only place to look is up. When there's no escape before and behind, to the right or to the left, you're forced to look up. For the first time, I repeat, the Israelites called on the Lord when they were hemmed in. Annie Johnson Flint wrote these words, "Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressure by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into liberty where nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into living a life in the Lord. Pressed into living the Christ life outpoured." Maybe that's the reason that you're under the pressure to bring you to an absolute end of yourself. I'll never forget the counsel of my good and faithful mother. God rest her soul. She used to say to me, "Honey, don't worry about so-and-so. They have to come to an end of themselves, and then they'll learn." I just can hear that when I play the record player of my past over and over again. Don't worry about so-and-so. They have to come to an end of themselves, and then they'll learn. There's a third lesson. If the Lord is to get the glory, he must do the fighting. Now, that's the most difficult lesson, but that's the best of the four. If you want the Lord to get the glory, and that's not just lip service, you got to let him do the fighting. Obviously, there are times where you're to get involved. Obviously, there are occasions where you are part of the answer. I'm not referring to those times. I'm talking about those impossible impasses. When you're between the rock and the hard place, and God has placed you in that predicament which has no escape, he wants to do your fighting. He wants you to lay down your arms. He wants to get the glory. God gave me something that I wrote down sort of from my personal journal this past week. It's not inspired. It's not necessarily profound, but it describes what I'm trying to say, and I want to read it so I won't miss it. When I panic, I run. When I run, I lose. When I lose, God waits. But when I wait, he fights. And when he fights, he wins. And when he wins, I learn. You get it? You see, if we had been in charge of the Red Sea Project, we'd have handled it differently, wouldn't we? Given that over to a group of engineers, that water would have been pushed back a week in advance. Great massive fans would have been installed to dry out the land. Signs would have been erected. Somebody would have brought in some concession stands to handle the hot dogs and drinks. Neon signs would have been built. It would have been a regular project. Because, you see, when people do it, you got to have all of the trademarks of people. That's not God's plan. When he wants you cornered, he corners you. And there are no signs. There are no predictions. There are no great human things to hang on to. You're just a Red Sea. And you wait. And time passes. Because he is going to fight his way at his time. Bite your nails all you want to. He's not in a hurry. And that brings us to our fourth and final lesson. Red Seas open and close at the Lord's command. Not until. Red Seas open and close at his command. Not before. Not until. See what I have in my hand? That's a watch. Most of you have one on your arm or in your pocket, your purse. That's one of the greatest detriments to the life of faith. You know why? Because God doesn't tell time like we do. He does his work sometime at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometime at noon. He even works on Sundays, you know. He just does remarkable things, regardless of what time it is. He doesn't bow to our timepiece. He is going to leave that particular Red Sea absolutely closed, without an opening, without a sign, until he has finished teaching you the lessons you're to learn. And then he has no trouble. Open the sea and send you through. But Baal-zephon has to do its work. And you know the remarkable thing is, you won't see a miracle, you'll be a miracle. That's the best part of all. Raymond Edmond refers to the discipline of delay in his excellent book, The Disciplines of Life. From it I quote, "We live in a restless, impatient day. We have little time for preparation and less for meditation or worship. We feel we must be active and energetic, humanly effective. We cannot understand why inactivity, weakness, weariness, and seeming uselessness should be our lot. It all appears so foolish and futile without plan or purpose." Now listen, the delay that instructs and prepares us saves time, never loses it. Hudson Taylor knew the testing that tempers the steel of the soul. He was an invalid home at the age of 29 after 6 years of intensive service in China. 6 years. He settled with his little family in the east side of London. Outside interests lessened. Friends began to forget him. And 5 long hidden years were spent in the dreary streets of a poor part of London, where the tailors were shut up to prayer and patience. As the years of obscurity progressed, and when the discipline was complete, there emerged the China Inland Mission. At first, only a tiny root, but destined of God to fill the land of China with gospel fruit. Now, when I call to your attention the name of Hudson Taylor, there's probably not a person, aside from students of his life, who would even mention 5 years of obscurity in a poor part of London. You'd mention the prominent things about it. But I'll tell you, China was reached because a man was faithful with his family, waiting for the Red Sea to open. Now, that's something for you tonight. And until you learn it, you're going to stay in the cul-de-sac. That's true for me too, isn't it? Let's bow together. Just rest your head in your hands for a minute, and let's just sort of wrap it up. How's your time with the Lord? How are you and the Lord getting along in those early watches? Been too busy? Then you're too busy. You feel cornered, up against it, just almost barren? Listen, child of God, that's by His design. Takes those streets of London, those Baal-zephons, to prepare you for the days of Canaan. I speak to the singles. Frustrating years, aren't they? Hard years. Some lonely times. Speak to the marrieds. Easy to be so involved in making a living that you fail to make a life. And then time is gone. I speak to missionaries in the making. Some even on the field, young and old. Coming to the Red Sea is just as much a part of His plan as crossing it. Lord, we come to a very sober and serious moment. You've spoken, and in a very real sense, we've met with destiny. We've seen our testimony on the printed page of Your Word. And we've come to a sudden, abrupt awareness that it may very well be that you're breaking a habit born in Egypt that has no business in Canaan. And those habits are hard to break. Some of us have wept before you, even recently. And in the burning of the tears, you become very, very significant and real. I pray for these, your sheep. I pray that you would encourage them in the pain, strengthen them in the hard places, and graciously open the sea and help them through. But do it in your time. Father, we adore you and we thank you together for the things you have begun to show us from your word through Jesus Christ. Amen.
For the last 3 days here on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll has been teaching from Exodus chapter 14, sharing the timeless story of God's faithfulness to Israel. Tomorrow, we'll find out how the Israelites behaved on the other side of the Red Sea miracle. But first, we have a special treat for you. Over the past year, you've heard us talk about a new resource available through Insight for Living Ministries. Our brand new Searching the Scriptures Bible studies have become very popular because listeners from all over the world are discovering how to dig deeply into the Bible on their own. With that in mind, Chuck wanted you to meet the woman on our staff who helped pioneer these spiral-bound workbooks and how God provided a means to produce them. Here's Chuck.
Today you're going to meet our Senior Vice President of Communications. And that's a mouthful right there, and Linda Ricks will tell you what that means in just a moment. It's been wonderful to share our team ministry with you, Linda, over the years, and thank you for stepping into this today and sharing with our folks what your title means, as well as the realms that you touch on. Please do that.
Thank you, Chuck. It is such a blessing to be a part of this ministry here at Insight for Living. We get the opportunity to walk alongside our followers and share their faith journey along the way. Our prayer is always that we can sense God's leading with the resources that Insight can provide for those who want to study deeper and enrich their walk with Christ. God answered our prayer last year when several of us here felt a call to provide Bible study materials to accompany the series that you preach on the air. Our financial resources were limited, but God prompted someone to send a gift at the end of 2023. This encouraged us to move forward with printing Bible study workbooks. Our listeners' responses have been great. These new resources are meeting the needs of those wanting to study along with your messages and to dive deeper into God's Word. This summer, one of our listeners wrote to tell us how they are using these Bible study workbooks. Let me read this to you. My women's Bible study will begin studying Revelation in September. I just ordered all three studies of Revelation so my ladies could have a look at them. We love the spiral binding. Chuck's podcast on Revelation are amazing and make the books so much more clear. I'm thinking about ordering the CDs, so I go back and listen in the car. I've encouraged my ladies to get the IFL app so they can listen too. Isn't that encouraging, Chuck?
That's terrific. I love to hear that.
Isn't that great? God's prompting has resulted in helping others study His Word deeper through your messages. So as we move into 2025, our prayer is that we'll be able to reprint some of the books, as well as some new publications that may come out, that will provide a deeper insight for each person's life. To do this, we do need both human and financial resources. But we're also praying that we are able to enhance our website so that it's easy to use and offers important and useful resources at the tip of their fingertips. It's such a blessing to see how God works in the lives of our Insight friends, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do in the coming year.
Well, we all stay excited when we think about that. I remember in my own life, for years, I just took it in. I just heard the scriptures. But things changed when I began to dig into the scriptures for myself. And that's what we're wanting our listeners to do more than listen, but to learn by applying yourself to the very truths that we present. So thank you. Thank you so much, Linda, for this. And thank you, my friend, for being there for us, for standing alongside us, for providing the gifts that are needed for us to continue. We couldn't do it without you. Our gratitude knows no bounds. Again, thank you sincerely.
We are deeply grateful for every member of our listening family and all those who support Insight for Living financially. We're approaching the conclusion to another ministry year. The goals for December are daunting, but we're trusting God to stir in the hearts of people like you to give generously. As you measure the impact of Insight for Living on your life, please follow God's leading and give whatever amount He places on your heart. To give a special year-end donation today, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. To give a contribution online, just go to insight.org/donate. Or you can call us at 800-772-8888. You just heard Linda talk about the popular Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. The edition for our study on Moses is available right now, and there are several other selections as well. To give a donation or purchase copies of the Searching the Scriptures Bible studies, just call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll provides a timeless warning about the danger of a complacent spirit, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Between the Devil and the Deep Red Sea, was copyrighted in 1975, 1978, 1981, 1985, 1998, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.